Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. With unemployment rising, many take jobs beneath their skill levels. As we learn to do with less, the American lifestyle is becoming an endangered species. Today, how focusing on the glory of God helps us weather economic storms. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Erwin Lutzer comes now with message number 4, God's Glory in Our Lifestyle.
There is a story about a boy who is trying to sell his scrappy little dirty puppy. And he put up a sign that said, $3 or best offer. The sign was up for several days and no one stopped to buy his puppy. And a salesman saw the sign and thought he'd teach the boy a lesson about thinking big. And he said to the boy, you need to think big, clean up your puppy, and then up the price so people think they're getting something valuable. So the next day when the salesman drove past, he noticed that the sign said, puppy for sale, $1,000. The salesman thought, I'd have to stop and give this boy some wisdom here. It's okay to think big, but not quite that big. But when he came home that night, he noticed that the sign was down and across it was scrawled, sold. Couldn't believe it. Looked up the boy and said, are you telling me you sold your puppy for $1,000? And the boy said, yes. He said, I traded him in for two $500 cats. Well, today what we would like to do is to think big, really big. But before we think big, I need to tell you a couple of stories. First of all, this past week I was in Indianapolis for a day or two, spoke to a young executive, and you know what's happening in our companies today. What you find is that they are laying people off and then not replenishing their positions and just redistributing the work. So here's a young man who is overworked and he's underpaid and he is finding his job to be very stressful. Then I know someone else who has a PhD and he's flipping burgers, something like Moses, who is trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, the Bible says. That means he studied hieroglyphics and mathematics and astronomy, and there he is, 40 years with his aptitude and training in one direction, having to be confined to a desert for 40 long years, where the most important intelligent conversation was, And here he is, all that talent going to waste. And then you and I know people who are looking for work. They are in transition and they are in desperate need of money. Today, what I'd like to do is to speak to you about how do we see God in all of this and what is the big picture and how do we think big at a time like this or a time as it has been in the past. I need to begin by saying that obviously money alone cannot be our objective. Because if all that you do is work in order to have money, you'll never have enough, you'll complain, you'll be dissatisfied, and life will become a drag, and you'll be focused on the injustice of it all. That cannot be the motivation to have meaning in your job, in your vocation, and in your lifestyle. Nor is it possible for you to say that my big aim in life is to be able to choose something that I enjoy doing, something that is in keeping with my DNA. You necessarily can't have that. Maybe you can. Some of us have, but not everyone. As a matter of fact, about 50% or more of the American people believe that they are in jobs for which they are ill-suited. It is not in line with their aptitude. They are with Moses in the desert, trained in one area and yet doing a job in another, a job which perhaps naturally they don't like at all. Nor can your big picture meaning be connected with being praised or being thanked or achieving success the way in which we generally think of it, because you might be working for someone and making him or her look good, and they get all the credit and you get none. In fact, things may be so bad that things are actually going downhill for you. In fact, you know, the only way in which you can make a small fortune on Wall Street is to begin with a big fortune, I'm told. So the question is, where do we go from here? How do we find meaning in the ordinary things of life where the pressure cooker is on? Where is meaning found? If I preach this message correctly, I will actually give you some principles that even apply if you were to be a slave. Imagine that. We'll get to that in just a moment. But I also need to stress that what I'm telling you now is based on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're listening to this and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to say, this is all theoretical. I don't know how it works. I don't understand how I can believe all that. But if you know Christ as Savior, this is for you. Barna did some research and they asked this question: is the essence of the Christian life doing all of the commandments that Jesus gives us? And 57% of the people said yes. But you and I know better than that. Of course we want to do the commandments that Jesus gives us. But the Christian life is so much more than that. The Christian life is a relationship. It isn't rules. And the better you know Jesus, the better you're going to be able to apply what I'm going to be sharing with you in just a few moments. In fact, it's going to give all of us an opportunity to think and to pray and to believe in a way that we've never had to do before, to do it in a way that enables us to think big. Think big. The passage of Scripture I want you to turn to is found in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and this passage, chapter 10, verse 31, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, this single verse is so huge. It is like a stick of dynamite that can blow away all the mountains that stand in your way at the job that you have and the work that you may either delight to do or not delight to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. I may comment about the context later, but here it is. Chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's the text for today. Not the only text, but the main one. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Is there an overarching principle that is so important that you can find satisfaction in your life even if you do a job at work, somebody else gets the credit, you are being downsized unfairly? Is it possible to still find meaning? And the meaning is wrapped up in that little verse of Scripture, do all, everything for the glory of God. You say, well, Pastor Luther, that's so theoretical. I know it sounds theoretical. That's why I'm going to help you to unpack it. We're going to break it down, and we're going to bring it down to exactly where you live today. First of all, a few comments about the text itself. Notice this: we should glorify God in the ordinary things of life. What could be more ordinary than eating and drinking? Something that we do every day. And yet, even there, we should glorify God. Now, before the Reformation came, there was a belief in medieval times that if you wanted to do a good work that God might be pleased with, it had to be a religious work, such as saying a prayer, giving an alms, some kind of a good deed. Martin Luther came along and said that we are all priests before God, and that means that Sophie, the scrub woman, when she's washing a floor, she can glorify God more doing that if she's doing it as an act of service to the Lord, if it's an act of worship. She can glorify God while she cleans a floor better than a pompous priest who's up there trying to draw attention to himself, whose heart is far from God. Because it is not the act, said Luther, it is the attitude of worship with which we do it that makes the difference. Did you know that of the 40 characters of the Bible that we give most attention to, someone who has done a study on the 40 characters of the Bible, three-quarters of them never had a religious job. For example, Abraham was a sheep herder. You get to Joseph, he was a massive administrator. You come to the New Testament, Luke was a doctor. It's only a small percentage of those who had, quote, a religious job. Most of them learned what it is like to serve God and to worship God in the ordinary things of life. Years ago, I was told that Ruth Graham, who is now in heaven, the wife of evangelist Billy Graham, used to have above her sink, because she didn't like washing dishes, she had above her sink the words, "Divine service done here three times daily." And it is divine service. Now, sometimes we say, well, you know, work gives us a platform upon which we can witness. Yes, and I'll talk about that, but there's something more important, and that is that the work itself is the witness. The work itself is the worship, even if nobody sees, nobody knows, and it's just between you and God. This is Pastor Lutzer. I'm sure today that I'm speaking to someone who says, "I hate my job." Well, let me suggest to you today that you can actually change your attitude if you realize, first of all, that your job can be turned into a calling. What a difference it would be if you knew that God came to you and said, "I want you to serve me on that job. I want your work itself to be a witness to me between me and you, that you are doing this for me." In this message that you have heard a part of, I emphasize the fact that the Bible says that whatever we do, in word or in deed, we should do all to the glory of God. And in Colossians we read that a person should serve, even as a servant, that we should serve not as a man-pleaser, but doing the will of God from the heart. Isn't that beautiful? What that really means is that your work today that you dislike is the will of God. Now, if you accept it as the will of God, if you accept it as a calling, think of the difference it will make in your life. I'm so glad that you joined us today for Running to Win, and in a moment you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. But let me say also that if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior as a result of these broadcasts, or if you have been blessed, would you connect with us? Nothing encourages us more than the knowledge that the Lord is using these messages and these broadcasts to transform lives, and we want to hear about it. Thanks in advance for your prayers, for your gifts. God bless you. See you right here next time.
Erwin Lutzer has begun God's Glory in Our Lifestyle, his fourth message on Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Next time, principles to make God's glory your primary focus. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.